John was down there.
Recording in progress.
That's a no.
Oh, yeah.
You want to bring me one, two keys?
We can share this one.
Yeah.
Did she say she uses a different text or just?
Oh, you know, I used her old one. I wasn't in her CPA training, so Saturn. Is she Saturn?
Yes. Yeah, so, okay, I'm going to text her.
That's what I got through.
I'm going to hold for just 2 minutes. I'm trying to get a hold of Diane. I know she was here earlier and said
she's... There she is.
Oh, good. Oh, there she is.
Okay.
Ignore my text that I just very second sent you.
No worries.
Literally, that very second.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Welcome back to the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feels good in
the land of the rest of us.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. Meeting of March 26th. I don't know how it got to be already in March, the end of March.
That is fine.
Yep. It's beautiful. I would like to start our meeting by having the flag salute, and Richard will be leading us today.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Great. Thanks everybody for coming in today. Our meeting today, we have a number of things for our annual meeting to discuss. We do have quite a few things to vote on and discuss. We will have our comment period here at the beginning. If you can keep it to 3 minutes, that's great. You know, we don't have a timer on the desk, but that allows other people to speak if you would be so kind to do that. So, and that's where we're going to start today. Yes?
I just have a comment, or announcement, actually. One of our longtime residents here from the past, Don Hancock, passed away Thursday. He lived on island over here. He was very active in the community and in Olympia. He was 96 years old, veteran of the U.S. Navy. And so I just wanted to tell anybody that remembered them. It's been a while since they've been here. They've been in Oregon. And so I just wanted to tell everybody that, since this is being recorded, that others can hear about it.
Okay.
So,
great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Marcia.
96, so long.
Yes.
I'm rising to make some comments about the board's fiscal responsibilities. Thanks for coming in. I encourage you to continue to come and invite your friends so that we have more eyes on what's been going on. I'm concerned about the board's adherence to the bylaws and the some poor fiscal management activities that are going on. According to the bylaws, no individual shall cause solicitation of work or an expenditure of CBAHA money without authorization of an appropriate board motion, and solicitation of by the board for authorized staff that exceeds $3,000 shall require written cost estimates requested from at least 3 appropriate vendors. This board is not doing that. And there's no exception here at the bylaws that says, oh, it's because we've used these people for a long, long time, or we like them, or it's a friend from my church group, or whatever. Those exceptions don't appear here in the bylaws. or that we can't find anybody to do it, which is not true. So I'm concerned about that. And apparently there's been no competitive bids for any of our big ticket items. Not the insurance, not the Wenigan, not paving, communication services, or anything else. They're just not doing their duty. And so the claim that there isn't anybody to bid on things is just flat false. And there's no due diligence. They've not been checking to see if the people that we do hire are licensed, bonded, insured, or qualified. And we have experienced the one vendor who was did some work and it was not done properly. The result of this is that we don't necessarily get the best price for things. And when we do competitive bids, people have different ideas about how they can approach the work. And so sometimes those ideas are really good ones. Just because we've used somebody forever doesn't mean they have the best, most current ideas. And so it's to our advantage to have, that's why that rule is written in the bylaws, so that we get input from a variety of people and it's a benefit to the community. Also, I'm concerned about the purchasing processes being currently used by the board members. All board members apparently have been authorized to make purchases and issue POs, and in my opinion, that's just too many fingers in the cookie jar. There's no guidance to check to see if we have budget. There's no oversight or transparency about what they're spending their money on. And they don't seem to understand the difference between a PO and a contract. So several of the things that have been issued as a PO really should be issued as a contract, because a contract requires a specific, detailed, written explanation of what we want the vendor to do, and it's signed by the vendor and by us. A PO does not require that signature from both parties. So, and the Wenigan is a good example. The first time we started working on the Wenigan, there was no written contract for that work, and that's just too much money to be spending without a written contract. So I encourage you to continue to attend and to make sure that the board adheres to our bylaws, and that we make sure that they are actually working in the best interest of the community, because right now it doesn't appear that they are.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I saw a slow hand. Oh.
Go ahead. You're reversed. So with that asserted, there should be an action, I imagine. What would the board propose that would provide either confidence for clearly a lack thereof, or perhaps mitigation of actual misuse of the bylaws or whatever. So what I think an assertion is great, but without a response or at least an action, I think it's not going to move a needle. So what would the board do?
Well, I think we would need to regroup as you know, this group. I didn't want to say group twice, but I couldn't think of another word. So that we could look at what the past practice has been over the last year or whatever, to see where we are in that. I don't think I would be comfortable to give you an instant answer on something that's pretty broad.
Okay, but I think the action item of we hear you and we'll discuss in executive session is great first step.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's what I heard you say. So that sounds great.
Yes. I just think that that's not something we can just respond to off the cuff.
Sure.
That's
the first action I think that I just heard is great.
Okay. I don't know that it'll be in today's executive session. It may be a special meeting separate from that. But
Yeah, maybe we could just add to that, too. I know that it's been a while since our last annual meeting, but if you have comments like this that you would like to see follow-up action items on and well-articulated responses for during the meeting, just submit those in writing a week ahead of the meeting so we can get our heads around it and discuss it a bit. And that gives us kind of a chance to formulate a response.
That actually is a bylaw.
It's a bylaw, yeah.
Oh, right, Sandy?
That's a good idea, too.
That's a pretty good idea.
So, what do you think? Yeah. Okay. One thing I thought would be grand, and I know this board hasn't done it since I've been here, but a couple boards I've been familiar with, they do it, and it works well for both the board members and the community. Have a strategic plan every time a new board comes in. Doesn't have to be including every single thing that comes up, but something that you have, like a goal or a mission statement. The new term is a strategic plan. So we have an idea of what's planned, what the expenditure is going to be. And speaking of that, how much has been done with the water? Has it been approved by the county yet?
If you can wait, that is part of Richard's presentation. If you can.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Anybody else? I didn't see you come in. I'm just saying hello. All right. Thank you very much. Okay, Destiny, you are next.
Yeah, so minutes have not changed. I didn't want to print them twice to save on paper, so you received them at the workshop in your packet. I didn't receive any changes from anyone, so if everything looks good, I'd like to propose that we approve those.
Any? 1 second.
Yeah.
Okay, because I wasn't at the workshop because I was sick. There was the first... Sorry, my brain is not working as fast as it was, and now I don't have a set of those in front of me. The very first one we voted on last time, I didn't vote on it, but it seems like it passed unanimously, but I know I didn't vote.
I
abstained. I didn't raise my hand. I didn't say yes, so, and now I can't even remember what it was, but I do remember not voting, and then I think it says that I did, that it was unanimous, I think.
Let me just double check. Do you remember what the motion was?
It was the very first motion we made that evening. Sandy dropped something.
The very first one?
The first motion was...
That was to approve board meeting.
No, nope, yes, I'm sorry. Okay. Towards my brain's not functioning.
That was the budget committee?
Okay.
Yeah, I abstained from that.
Okay, got it. So we'll just change that to abstain then. And if you miss, by the way, I missed the workshop too. Just submit those via email, and that way we can we conditionally approve these today, maybe, with that change?
Let's get the change, and then we'll request 100% written response. Excuse me.
All right, I will make that change. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Sorry, I should have caught it that evening, but I was...
It's okay. It sounds like you've had a lot going on.
Trying.
Anything else? All right, that's it.
Oh, no, we got a vote still.
Sorry. That you're okay with voting based on that change?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just going right down my vote script.
I'm just following your lead.
I think maybe I shared with Pat.
That's what we did for spending the hours on that. Diane, how are you?
I can read it.
Okay.
You might stumble, but I can read it. So our it's a frog. Income as of February 29th, 2024. Dues $52,171. Special assessment $15,493. Other sources. 2,684. Events group had no change from the looks of this. Parks and Rec income was 1,475. Marina income was 2,766. Wastewater treatment sewer income $20,030. Water system income 11,523. Total income $106,142. note it's done on an account accruing system. Total of the special assessment funds received roughly is $328,000. Accounts receivable current aging over 30 days is $96,150. It's a decrease of $7,002. Sorry, I read
what
that.
What is that? Well, how did that go down, Diane?
Lots of phone calls and then lots of dings. People got letters. And I'm going to do delinquencies at the end, if that's okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you for your work on
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Monthly total expenses, $77,428. Budgeted expenses, $90,478. Budget variance was plus 14.4%. Expenses are under budget due to decreases in employment costs. If employment was on budget, we would be over budget at this time. Year-to-date expenses, $649,898, and our budget is $723,827. The budget variance is plus 10%. February expenses covered by restricted capital was none. The current bank loan for the wall project is $865,987.11. Current funds balance sheet, the marina has $125,257. Sewer fund has $27,720. Water fund has $13,476. General checking is $436,764. Events group has $4,465. Unrestricted capital fund, $180,804. Restricted cap fund has $290,314. The CDs, $260,942. Total assets, $1,173,289, up from $1,132,559. Ongoing accounting projects is to confirm our account for the Squaxin for citizens, approve a draft of the audit tax return, and project the audit billing. Okay, delinquency, sorry, I need to drink water. Okay. As of the 18th of this month, there were 59 approved delinquency reminders mailed to owners per board decision of 3-1, giving owners until 3-15 to pay in full. As of 3-18, the following lots have either paid a portion or full. Total amount collected was $13,426.73, leaving us with 37 units who have not paid and or replied. Most of them are $850 or greater. Our next steps is we have to discuss, the board needs to consider sending an intent to lien notice requiring payment in full in 2 weeks, and reference services to suspend if payment not received. Send reminder emails, calls to group newly over 30 days late, and start the next phase. Currently, the account is at 99 lots prior to researching those accounts. So, that's where we're at for delinquencies.
Say that last 99 lots. 99 lots prior
to researching the accounts.
Okay.
Those are 30 days or over.
Okay.
Sorry, Diane, I had a question about that. When I was reading it, I didn't quite understand.
So right now there are 99 lots that are 30 days or over that just hit that mark.
Oh, just hit it. Okay.
Yeah. So if they would get the same treatment the first round went, is now that I have a voice, I can come down here, I can pull them up, and I can call and do my call. And then if they don't respond, I do the same thing I did before. I document the day I called, the time I called, if I spoke with them or I didn't, just like I did the first time. And if they don't set it up with, and I, they don't set it up with Michelle to pay, then the next we would meet to discuss sending them the letter like we did everybody else. And that seemed like it worked really well. We did the first step, the second step, and we did really well with it.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, talking about tens of thousands that you can't
give us. So the only other thing we're going to need to discuss, and that's for our current upcoming budget, is we're going to have to discuss if we're going to write any of that debt off. Because the problem I'm having is when we rolled it over to Vantage a year ago, it changed their date for when that debt was incurred. So because it went from the QuickBooks straight into Vantage, there are several accounts I think as a board we need to look at and decide if we're going to write those off or if we're going to pursue them.
And I think that wraps up, or wraps into very nicely the other work that we're doing with our little group. I think that's
it does.
Once we kind of get this next step done, that'll be a good place to take a look at all of those.
And as far as getting our budget for the annual meeting, we are working diligently on it. I have to tell you, yeah, these guys did great work while I was sick.
To go along with that, we have been given two proposals for collection policies and had an opportunity to look at both. And at our workshop, we did the pros and cons and felt that the sample B or B plan, as we're calling it, just to help distinguish from one to the other, the step, there was one less sort of courtesy step,
right,
and it went to the lawyer without the extra courtesy step. And I would like to move that we accept this B plan, if you will, collection policy, as it's been written, to institute starting usage on July 1st of 2024.
I second.
First discussion goes.
Yep.
Has the attorney, have we gotten response from the attorney yet?
Yes. He said we have covered all the points. If we wanted to make it really long, we could copy the RCW that this is fashioned after.
But we don't need to. Okay, so the next question is, why would we wait until July 1st?
That's getting my question.
That was just my
question. Because right now we're starting to, we've been making calls and so forth, and we need to start sending out letters and so forth. I would say to, we've had plenty of discussion. It's already been provided in the last month's meeting. So I'd say we implement.
Implement now?
Yeah. I see no reason to.
April
1st. I see no reason to wait.
Okay.
I agree with Stan. I believe we should implement April 1.
Okay.
So we'll amend the usage to institute usage from July 1st to April 1st, 2024.
Right, and with the caveat that the calls that Diana has already made are she doesn't need to make those first calls again.
No, it's not for, the first calls would be for the new ones, Stan. Only the new ones that are just 99 days. We've done due diligence on all these old ones.
Okay, now, I just wanted to make sure.
No,
I just wanted to clarify.
No, I don't have to make any more phone calls except to my 99 new ones.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify.
I'm guessing that's no number, sorry.
Well, yeah, no, it's 99. I would assume that a lot of those 99 you've already made calls to last time.
No, that's 99 current. So it could just...
The new 30 days was.
Right, the new 30 days was. So what I found with a lot of those, and this is the truth, they didn't understand because they didn't read their bills, They didn't realize they had the special assessment. They didn't realize that they had the water fund. And so they just kept paying the same amount. And once they were told about that, they were really good about paying it. Some of them didn't realize they had renters in their properties that were getting pumped more often than what they thought. So they were paying for what the other renter did in pumps. Those people were very good about coming in and straightening it out.
Okay.
So
we'll amend that to yes. April 1st. You're happy with that?
I'm happy,
you're
with,
happy
that.
With that. Great. Richard, you are the second. All in favor? Any opposed? No. Okay, that has passed 6-6. Thank you. I skipped over one quick thing I wanted to do. I would like to move that we excuse Barb Quick from the meeting today for personal reasons, and Mike Haskett for personal illness.
Second.
Do I? Okay, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? That'll pass 6-6. Thank you very much. Sorry about that. Okay, next up. Don't know how I do this. Oh, and you mentioned that we're still working on that budget.
Mm-hmm.
We should, we may have it done before, I mean, in time to have like a call a special meeting if we
right.
have the time to.
Excuse me.
Okay, next are all of our reports. A couple things for me. If there are any people who are willing to volunteer, we're getting to the point of putting together the packets. I'm opening this up to everybody. Typing is helpful. I can type, but, you know, it's never quick. We have the big packets. They're going to be, you know, standard size. So there's a lot of typing to get all the pages in order. I don't need a show of hands now, but if you, I mean, you can. But if there's anybody who would be willing to help as we collect all of our sheets and things to put together into the packet, we do have a pretty hard deadline of when things need to go into the printer and those kinds of things. So if you have some time in the next couple of weeks and might want to help, that'd be great. Okay, next for me are the bylaws from the board. We did not get any bylaw submissions from the community, just from the board that we've been talking about. This packet that you have, and there were some on the table as well, are the bylaws that don't have to do with the budget. As Diane mentioned, we are not quite done getting all the numbers together to assign the new assessment amounts. So those aren't in this yet, but we will have them done so that we can have those bylaws completed as well. But this packet, there are six, I think, that we're prepared to move forward. The first one is, and I want to thank Tiffany for this. It was like, this was the easiest way as we talked and talked and talked. But it was about term limits. And she was here when we were talking about it at the workshop and had a great solution to make it short and simple. But what we're trying to determine is for term limits, how do you count? Because some people, even in this group here, came in the middle of a term, didn't, you know, for any number of reasons. So we're proposing that the bylaw read, trustees shall be elected for terms of 2 years. No person shall serve consecutively more than 3 full terms, excluding any partial terms of less than 2 years. Just we needed to have some clarification because it comes up anytime we need to bring somebody in a midterm. How do folks feel about that one?
I thought the wording was quite sensible.
Mm-hmm. Sweet, I loved it.
I like sensible wording.
Thank you. Well, unless you, we'll just vote at the end or talk about these at the end. The next one is talking about managers, and I think that's this one. Yes. There was a long section about hiring an operations manager. We kind of moved away from that and opened it up to a HOA management company. The thought was, in the future, we may want to have an operations manager, or we may want to continue with the model that we're using right now with a management company. So I took out words that had to do specifically with hiring an operations manager, and that became much shorter as well. The board may delegate the management of the activities of the association to any person or persons or management company, provided that notwithstanding any such delegation of activities and affairs of the association shall continue to be managed and all association powers shall continue to be executed under the ultimate direction of the board.
Well, I mean, you need to change that word because you have exercise. And you just said
oh, I did. Continue to be
exercise.
What did I say?
Executed.
Oh.
It's not executed.
I'm going to put my reading glasses.
Execute that word.
Yeah. Exercised is actually correct. Thank
okay,
you.
Just making sure.
It just, like I said, it gives us the option to hire a manager or an HOA management company. This one comes up, has come up, and again, with purchasing, we've had changes in who is a manager. Our manager now is not somebody that we're asking to sign for expenditures. We are hoping to shift some of the activities in the shop to have a maintenance supervisor who would be the person that will know what is needed down in the shop, as well as our trustees that work with them. The only... the only thing that was the number of votes required for the different breakdown did not change. It's just that we took the word manager out. So now it says an expenditure from any fund over $3,000 requires approval by a majority of votes of the trustees, which has not changed. That's been for quite a while now, that wording. Signature authorization is required for purchases from $1,000 to $3,000, and it used to read by the manager, but we're, I'm proposing two board of trustees or one board trustee and the maintenance supervisor for smaller purchases down at the shop. And purchases under $1,000 can be approved by one board trustee or the maintenance supervisor. And that used to just read approved by the manager.
Okay, so, yeah, so you added two board trustees or one. I'm unclear what exactly was added. What it used to say.
It used to say $1,000 to $3,000.
By,
is that where you
by,
are?
Right. By,
it
by
used to just say by the manager.
Okay, so the, by the manager. And so and we're adding two board.
Two board trustees or one board trustee and
right.
a maintenance supervisor.
Right, so we should probably have that. Okay.
I'll do that.
Right. You got three dots. stops at the end.
Oh, if that paragraph goes on forever.
Oh, okay.
So there aren't any changes in the number of signatures. It's just who falls into the...
And it opens it up to when we do get a maintenance supervisor that anything that's under $3,000, they can be part of that, which expedites what needs to be done in the shop. So I think it's a good thing.
So now, like, you know, you, Marv, and you, Richard, are the two people that are working closely with staff, and things, you know, come through you. So it would, might come through you or whoever the, we have the new structure.
And that seems to be working pretty well. So it would be nice to have a supervisor in there so that they can go, hey, this is what we need, and then talk to Marv or myself or both of us and get that done. Once we check the budget.
And I think, you know, you said that sort of under your breath once we check the budget. And I think some of the budget work that we're doing now, getting the categories more clearly identified, is really helpful.
And that was brought up earlier, if I may kind of interject into that. There's been a lot of work done with Vantage and how they do their accounting, and we're how we used to do our accounting, and they're doing a really good job of getting things into budget categories, so we have a much better idea of tracking what's in each one of those budgets, and that's been very helpful. But it's a process we've been working on for quite a while.
It's not overnight. Didn't happen. Okay, the next one has to do with RCW 64.38.025. And it's how budgets for HOAs are approved. The RCW talks about that regular or special budgets are approved. The budgets as they are built by the Board of Trustees are considered approved and are sent to the membership to basically reject it. If you vote when we did it for the special assessment, your voting ballot said, I approve of this special assessment or I reject this special assessment. And that's how your packet will look for the annual meeting this year when we propose the budget, that the RCW states that it's considered approved unless a majority of the eligible voters reject the budget. So we had to change the wording to reflect that. And there are some guidelines as far as when it has to go out, how within 30 days after adoption by the Board of Trustees, any proposed regular or special budget of the association, the board shall set a date for a meeting of the owners to consider ratification of the budget not less than 14 nor more than 60 days after mailing of the summary. And that's what we would send out in the annual meeting packet. Unless at that meeting the owners of a majority of the votes in the association are allocated or any larger percentage specified in the governing documents reject the budget in person or by proxy, the budget is ratified whether or not a quorum is present. In the event of a proposed budget is rejected or the required notice is not given, the periodic budget last ratified by the owners shall be continued until such time as the owners ratify a subsequent budget proposed by the board. And I think it's going to be one of those things that it's just a different way for us to look at how budgets get passed. If you want to look at that RCW, a lot of this, what we wrote in here, is lifted right from that RCW.
So should we just... I've been thinking about this, and I was wondering if we should just, instead of putting all this verbiage in there, if we should just reference the RCW, say, you know, that the budgets will be pass consistent with 6438 into that. Okay. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
Okay, I have a question. Because I wasn't on any of these because I was ill. It says here, the ones you're crossing off, you didn't read that. So you're...
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
I want to just make sure everybody here understands what's coming out of it.
Okay.
It says, provided, however, this is what they're taking out of it. Provided, however, that excluding capital fund assessments in no year shall all such charges or assessments exceed 10% increase over those of the previous year. That whole section comes out, and then it gives us room if we need... You can explain that part, because I'm going to get my mind gooped up. If we need to increase it more than 10%, that's what I'm trying to say. Help me, please.
Yes, the and thank you for catching that. I jumped ahead. That the board is going to look at all of the projects, what wages, what insurances are all needing to be paid for, and come up with the assessment that is appropriate to be able to pay for those things, have our reserve fund funded in a way that allows us to do all of the projects that are shown in our reserve, and that...
In the study.
In the study, in the reserve study. And that that budget will then go to, it could be 0% change, it could be 20% change. We hope it's not, but...
I just have a question.
Yeah.
I'm not okay with that, for one. But how can you talk about possibly exceeding the 10% and at the same time talk about writing off some of the debt that people owe? I don't understand that.
Well, there is some debt that we come to realize that we're just never going to get that money from those people.
I mean, if you put a lien on the property, if they ever try to sell or if they die or whatever, we can get it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you write it off, we can't.
Oh, no, you can.
Yeah, writing it off our
books. They'll still get a lien on it.
Oh, okay.
It's just off our books.
Writing it off our books does not extinguish the debt.
Right. It means that we're not figuring into the budget at this time, but if and when it's paid, then it would go into that budget.
Okay. And if it's for services... Will you still, because I was at the last meeting.
We want write-off services.
Okay, just making sure.
Thank you.
Well, should there be both?
Carol had a question in the back.
When you were describing, the last thing you were talking about, does RCW, does it just drop the information about a limit at 10%?
There,
it just,
there
it
is,
away.
There is no,
and there's no comment on it or anything.
If you ever are interested in looking at it, I've found them kind of interesting lately. But
well, I appreciate that, but I just wanted that specific answer.
Yeah, but if you ever have questions like that, we have them available here, so you can look at them. You know, this is my little notebook. I carry mine around, but they're available here for you if you ever have a question like that, other than a time when we can answer it personally. But
wouldn't that be important, though, to have that one, that particular one, available to the community without having to do anything, except because it's completely, that concept's been completely dropped. So that kind of would answer any question.
Oh, for us to
changing it.
To publish that RCW, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or a portion of it, because it's different if it's different if it's completely wrong, then it isn't a decision by the board. But when it's presented in using your words, then it implicates this in decision of the board.
I see what you're saying.
I don't understand.
I see what she's saying too, but I can't explain.
She's saying that if people understand how the RCW was written,
mm-hmm.
it's better than my words,
right.
Or these words.
Yeah, I was suggesting we just reference the RCW, because then if the RCW without reiterating it, because then when if the RCW changes, it we don't have to go back and change the
verbiage.
Our verbiage. We just say
per RCW.
Per RCW, mm-hmm. 6438025. We do it. We're going to follow RCW. Then, if the RCW changes, we follow the new one. We don't have to have the verbiage in here because then we have to go and vote to change the verbiage, and then we end up inconsistent with the RCW.
I just have a quick question. Do we just vote on the bylaws changes as a whole, or we do them line by line or change by change?
By each specific bylaw, not line by line.
Yeah, they're not grouped together.
We don't have to take it all or nothing.
Correct.
We can say we like this one and not this.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant line by line in within. No, each one is presented individually in the annual meeting packet for you to approve.
The budget is all or nothing.
Right. But. Okay.
Question back here.
I think Stan's point, which mitigates risk of change, right, should be considered throughout a lot of the bylaws. with that said, I think you can do both, right? You reference the RCW and update the language, but that clarification could still be added in your language.
Sure.
I think it's quickly.
And when we get done with the packet, that is a conversation I was going to open up to the group just because of the frustration that I found myself with every time we looked at a, it's like, okay, that's really a policy. It shouldn't really be, anyway. But I jumped ahead. Let me finish that up. I'll get with you to try to reword that again. And then one of the things that came up, this is Article 10, Sections 1 and 2. This, again, came up as we talk about what our bylaws, what the job of the bylaws is, what should the rules be, how should they be set up. And in our bylaws, there's a whole section about property maintenance. And I think we found this when we were looking at the rules and regulations and some of the other things, is that because in our CC&Rs, we did not, or the original folks that wrote that up, did not include any references to property maintenance. And bylaws and rules and regulations are meant to uphold and give the explanation of what the CC&Rs are. And going back to what I said, so many of the things that we've ended up putting in our bylaws really don't fit in the what people have as their bylaws or what are identified in the RCWs as bylaws. This is a tricky one because it comes up and people ask, you mean you can't tell somebody to cut their grass, or you can't get those
cars
moved out of the yard, or all of the things that fall under that. So, and I will just say out loud, this was my bylaw suggestion, was to remove the entirety of Article 6, Sections 1 and 2 that only deal with property management.
You mean Article 10?
What did I say?
6.
Oh, sorry. No,
it is 10, right?
10, mm-hmm. 1 and 2.
So, first discussion on that, I concur with you, but on the same token, I'm not an attorney. We're relying on the advice of one attorney, and we relied on the advice of a different attorney for years that included all this stuff. So, is it worth, it makes sense that the covenants don't include any of that stuff, so we can't qualify it further. Intuitively, that makes sense to me. But I'm wondering if we should expend another couple grand or whatever to get another opinion. just throwing it out there to
the board. That was my first thought as well. That's a pretty big change. I would want a second opinion before we
right, because we're relying on advice of counsel, but it's one guy.
I have some questions and thought about that. We did look further back into the, I think when you made that determination, we had not looked at all of the underlying governing documents. And when we got to the Articles of Incorporation and the Charter, it did look like we could enforce a whole lot of stuff that we didn't think that we could previously. So in the current revision that the committee will be offering, it includes citations for every place that we've made a rule, what that rule is based on in terms of our governing documents. So I do think that we can, there are property maintenance things that we can improve. For example, tall grass in our governing our basic documents, it includes safety. Well, if we have high grass and it becomes a fire hazard, then that's something we should be able to enforce. So there's that piece. And then the other piece is that, and I don't know for sure, but I just want to throw this out, is that we should be able to enforce or help enforce public laws. So Thurston County, we don't have a thing in our bylaws about hoarding dogs or other animals, but Thurston County does. Even though we can't get Thurston County to come and enforce some of the laws that they have, we should be able to fine based on those laws. So that's a question that I really don't know the answer to, but what I've been doing is associating any laws that are underlining that we could use to enforce ourselves.
And I'm going to come back with, I don't disagree that we should have some that stuff written down somewhere. I don't believe that the bylaws are the correct place. I believe policies, rules, and regulations are where those things can be very clearly outlined with the enforcement. That's why I'm saying.
But if we take out this whole section about property maintenance, we'll lose that.
No, we won't. Why would we?
Well, she's proposing in the bylaws that we remove all the
I stuff. Know, but it doesn't have to be in the bylaws. It can be in the rules and regs and be fine. We're still being able to enforce it. It is, and I agree, I don't think it's the place after reading the RCWs. It really is not the place to put that kind of thing in. That's more of a rule and a regulation type of thing.
But my point is, I don't know if the corporate documents have any bearing. I don't know.
They should. Why don't they?
I said I don't know. Okay, because I'm not an attorney. I don't know. I want to be an attorney to know that
you're governing the articles of incorporation.
The articles of incorporation refer to the from my standpoint, my layman understanding, relates to how the entity operates. Okay. And everybody owns individual parcels of land here that are and those I don't know if those articles of incorporation will actually have any force and effect on somebody's individual property.
I've been in a community before where they were definitely the articles of incorporation are the very beginning of your community.
So that's why I'm suggesting we get another legal opinion from somebody that could give us that sound of good advice.
And could we even just, I guess to your point, Lyle, if we remove this without having it enforceable somewhere else, then how does that leave us? So could we even just get some kind of a recommended next step? And maybe this is not a single solution where we just remove these.
Yeah, so if we do consult another attorney, which I think is not a bad idea, I would be particularly interested to know. I'm very comfortable with the rules that we are proposing are based on the all of the governing documents, including the Articles of Incorporation. I think everything is pretty much covered there, but it would be not a bad idea to have that validated by another attorney. The piece that I don't quite, I'm not sure about, is to what extent we can enforce public legislation like the abandoned vehicles and dog hoarding and or animal hoarding, that sort of stuff. Can, even though it's a law, can we still make fines for violations of those laws? That's a question I don't really know.
Doesn't it say in the covenants that we are to adhere to Thursday
yes.
County?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
That's specifically
regarding building.
I think it regards everything.
No,
it's everything is how I understood it.
That's
it,
what
it.
I understood too. But
I don't have any problems.
Yeah.
I guess. The only thing I would want to clarify with that is that that has the potential to be like a runaway train, I would think, and that there's a lot of rules in Thurston County and a lot of laws and things that we are probably not qualified to enforce.
I would agree with that.
I would narrow it definitely to what falls within our covenants for enforcement. I can always find everything but the covenants. It's like every copy. It's on the website.
Okay, so can we move on from
we'll revisit that.
Thank you.
This is my little editorial that, again, is that as I was going through the structure of our bylaws, we have a lot of what's necessary in there, but there are so many things that really fall under the definition of a policy or a procedure that might not be appropriate for this particular document. And I know you guys have done a lot of looking into that. There's been a lot of work going on. And you know, looking at each section, and you know, we have our bylaws are like paragraphs this long that just ramble on and on. And my copy has red dots and lines to say this is the end of this thought, and or you know, this would be line or part one of a policy. And so there's plenty of work to continue to do.
Are you thinking of just doing a grammatical revision of
the love to do grammatical. I don't know that it's going to happen this year.
And how do we do that exactly? Because the same thing is true with the rules and regulations.
I know.
It's a mess.
Yes.
The paragraphs aren't numbered or anything. And so we're proposing what we'll be presenting will be reformatted and some grammatical changes. And I'm hoping that those could be approved because without having to say, like you did, appropriately here, you know, this section, we're going to strike this, put this in. Mm-hmm. I think that's appropriate for the bylaws, but that won't get us to a better organization of the document or grammatical changes. And the same thing is true with the rules and regs.
I think if we're going to do an overhaul of a legal document, that we need to approach it like we would a corporation doing red lines through procurement. And just make sure that all those changes are tracked in the document somewhere rather than handing an edited version over to us because it's dense. I wouldn't be able to tell you what's changed.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah,
so it's going to
be messy.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It would be super. Yes?
Would this be a good time to talk about something you guys mentioned last week about the new legislation that was passed in regards to HOAs that we're going to have to revamp everything anyway?
It could be just a quick footnote. On the governor's, we think it's still on his desk. I follow that little notice that goes out of what all the laws are on his desk, and I haven't seen it yet, but Mike did indicate that one of the things that is going in front of the governor in his past, so that it's waiting for his signature, is for all common interests, communities, so HOAs, condos, would all fall under what's called the WCIOA,
which is the Washington...
Washington Community... There's no property in it.
No, it's not property. It's
and it was,
community interest.
There you go.
And so right now there are two somewhat similar RCW chapters for condos and homeowners associations, even though a lot of the stuff we do is the same or similar. The proposal is, or the bill is, that everybody falls under the same rules, which would be nice. The one thing about moving forward with this particular bill is that it really spells out things. What did you say it was like?
Oh, it's huge.
It really spells out a lot of things way more clearly for what members are able to do and what rights and that you have that aren't quite as clear. The RCW right now is kind of...
Currently, RCW 6438, which is what we operate under for HOAs, it's very small as far as RCWs go. It's surprisingly small. So it leaves a lot. And the new one is very detailed.
There's a disconnect between the new one applies only to organizations that have been organized as of a certain date. And the new legislation brings everybody in so that everybody's under the same laws. And I think that's probably a good thing.
Right. And that was one of the criteria that separated it too, was the age of your community. So that being said, one of the things that we were talking about last week is if this does pass and he signs this into effect, I think it's 4 years, that a lot of the work that we'll do should be looking forward to what those goals are. So yes, this does have impact on what we're doing, but I think it will refine where we're going, and we'll just be hopefully a little bit ahead of the game and not on the fourth year be scrambling to come up with the bylaws to meet the new requirements.
So we have 4 years to get into compliance?
Well, I think that was what he had said, was that they'll probably be, by the end of 4 years, everybody will be under the Wokiowa.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean, it sort of indicates to me that if it does pass, we don't have to wait for the 4 years.
No, that's what I'm saying.
We could go ahead and be in the new world as soon as we can get there.
Yep, exactly. That's why I don't want to wait to the last minute to be scrambling.
Yep.
So, okay. Thank you for bringing that. I didn't know whether it was a good idea to bring that up. Another sort of wrench in the works, but... I don't think any of the work that you guys have been doing with the rules and the different committees is going to go to waste at all. I think it's something that needs to happen. Culling through the bylaws needs to happen. We haven't kept up with some of the changes. And I'm like you, the formatting is just... It's like, how can we even call ourselves a corporation that does business when we can't even write sentences? But that will be in the future. And I hope the nearer future than the farther future, as far as getting our documents to look and be in order. Yes, if you cannot have bullets and arrows, I would in itself would make me happy.
Number and paragraphs so we can enforce stuff.
Yeah. So which is the same kind of formatting stuff that we're finding in these long paragraphs can be anyway. So a lot of work to be done. I am going to present the whole packet with the two or three budget related for us to vote on. But that's where we are. And I will edit through anything that came from there. Thank you. Let's see. Oops, I did it again.
The
agenda. I pick it
remind
up
people of
applications.
That was next.
Oh, is that next? Thank you. Just a reminder, if you are interested in running for a board position, that's open until the 1st. And it is not an April Fool's joke. That's just how it that just is how it landed on the calendar this year. So please think about it. Next.
But the current postal, we're not ready yet.
Oh, you've already
right. We're not ready there.
So.
Next is management report by Mike. We don't have that unless you do.
I have just a couple of things that Mike. We do have. I would like some other folks to review our audit and our tax. I've gone over it. We have until tax day to sign this. If anyone else would please. Take a look at it. That would be great. I've got that right here. Audit. We will be in executive session. Our insurance, health insurance, vision, dental, life insurance, and medical plan is due, and we will discuss the contract during executive session, but that is due soon.
Are we coming out of executive?
And if we vote on it, we'll do it after executive
Thank
session.
Thank you.
Yep. I was interpreting what you were saying. That was my question. Yep. What's the next?
Destiny. Architecture.
Got it. Okay, so I wasn't able to attend the last architecture meeting, but everybody took care of business without me. It looks like a couple of permits were approved. Right now, I'm in the process of trying to get everybody, but especially the architecture committee, online and just transferring documents wherever possible. Obviously, we're not going to get giant building plans uploaded, but just so that there's a paper trail for turnover next year. And then I actually have the minutes in front of me right now. The rules and regulations revisions, it looks like those made it over to you, Pat. Yes? Am I reading this correctly?
No, I haven't. We're working on it.
Oh, you're working on it.
Elena and I are working on it.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Remind me the due date for the rules and regulations. When do you need to have those in?
It's on that table you gave us, Pat.
I did it the 15th. April 15th.
I thought it was the 15th.
It's right in there.
I have three copies. It's that
April
little table. 15th.
Okay.
I think.
Sorry.
Don't trust me.
We have it. Didn't you email that to us as well? I'm sure you did at some point, many times.
I will make sure that. Anybody who's working on them, I'll send you an email just to verify. I think that is correct, though.
Okay, great. But yeah, it looks like that's what transpired at the last one. So for anybody, I know there's a couple of architecture committee people here now.
Yeah.
If you have any documents, meeting minutes, and things like that, we're just trying to kind of centralize that information so that people can get to things as they need them. And, if I'm not reelected next year, the next trustee or the architecture committee can kind of look over historically what happened and get up to speed a little quickly.
Okay. Yeah. The process that we're using right now is I'm the secretary for the architect. I sent them to Tyann, mm-hmm. and what she does with them, I send them as Word document, and she puts them wherever. I think you requested for her to put them in one document.
Yeah, one drive.
And so, and how far back do you want to go for the architect minutes? They've all been scanned in, in Word and by year. So that, I don't know how much process that takes for her to do.
Sure.
So yeah. I think maybe you need to consider that too.
I think my only concern is this year. I think we could go back a very, very long time if we wanted to, but for right now. You're shaking your head. No. Oh, no, sorry.
No, I agree with you.
Oh, okay. Is that bad? Is that a bad idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely don't want to create a huge backlog. I'm not trying to over-engineer anything.
And I think you did send her an email to put them in the OneDrive.
I actually did that. I just put them in there myself.
Okay.
I try not to ask Tyen to do anything if I can avoid it.
So you're just doing it anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but that's good to know that you're emailing them all to her. I'll just get with her and get them imported. That's easy enough.
Because everybody needs to get a copy of it, of the minutes. So
yes.
The board and the committee.
Yes.
First.
Yeah. And that way they're just not lost in inbox black holes and never to be seen again.
Right.
We have a central place. Okay, but that's it I have for architecture. I guess I'm next to...
You're next to...
Yeah, communications. So for my side of things, it's business as usual. Imported a ton of new phone numbers. We had some water meters installed over the past month. I will say, generally, I try to make it the standard that we don't respond to text messages because it's like a desktop system. It's not something that comes to anybody's phone, and it's a lot to monitor. But that being kind of a time-sensitive situation, if you were online and texting, I did respond back. I don't want to set that as like the norm because that probably won't happen, but I was just kind of hanging out with my laptop that night and texting people back. So if you heard from me, that's why. To that end, the thing I'm working on right now is end-of-year process documentation, which sounds really exciting. But it's really, really fun. But I think the hardest part about being on the board is really just not knowing exactly what you're supposed to be doing or how the heck to get it done. There's a lot to absorb in these documents. We're all volunteers. I know I have a full-time job and then a part-time job and then some kids and some dogs. And we're all super busy. So I think what would make this easier for me coming in next year would be if there was just kind of a how-to guide for this. So for board members, for committee members, anybody who has a process or a work thing that you're doing right now, try to put it into a document and email it to me, drop it in my mailbox, put it in my actual mailbox at my house. I don't care. The idea is to get all that in one place so that as people turn over next year, there's continuity and we can continue to build on things instead of reinventing the wheel every term. So that's the goal. Any questions about that so far?
Well, I just am hoping that, I know you're really busy and you have a lot of stuff to do, but earlier this year we talked about a communication plan, and I'm wondering if we're going to be able to get at least an emergency communication plan organized and posted and communicated so that if we do have an emergency, everybody will know what they need to do.
Yeah, so we actually have, it's a very simple, my strategy with a crew of volunteers is keep it painfully simple. So I did put together a communications SOP, which covers, you know, what to do in case of emergencies. A lot of this stuff falls outside of something that the HOA would be responsible for. Like, for example, I'm not going to send out alerts that the National Weather Service might communicate. But if there's like a king tide coming in, we have a marina, it might make sense to message those folks and say, hey, make sure your boats are tied up really well. That has been communicated and sent around to the board, and it is in OneDrive now. Very simple, but it does cover that.
What about safety? Is there a safety committee amongst the workers and for things like... something needs to be fixed on the marina, or, you know, the swing is broken, or, you know, something like that. Do you have any meetings like that? I think it's required for an HOA.
Go ahead, Marv.
When we find out about it, we have the two guys that we have working for us to take care of them as soon as we can find out about them. And the swing has been fixed from over the weekend. And any emergency or anything like that, we always have a crew come that our people comes in and tries to take care of it. So we're in pretty good communications about safety things. We have safety every day that we have a meeting. And we're always, Richard and I both are always telling them to work safe, be safe, preach about using life jackets out on the dock and whatnot out there, and safety gear. I think one of the biggest hazards is our pump truck drivers, the hazardous material that they're around. And we try and keep them aware of the safety that they need to do. Always wear their gloves and just be alert and aware if they get anything on them to let us know. And another thing, if they get injured or something, we always want to know even if they just skin their fingers. I think it's kind of a law thing that you make an incident report out for our protection and for theirs in the future. So we're pretty up on that. We don't have enough people right now to hold too big of meetings, but Richard and I's been trying.
Well, and another thing that we're looking at, which is another thing to talk about, is when we do get a supervisor, maintenance supervisor, that will become their focus. But Marv and I, every meeting we have, we're talking about what needs to be done, is there something that needs to be repaired, and then depending on who we have and our time constraints, we try to get those things done. But I think I see that as becoming under the umbrella of the maintenance supervisor when we get to the point where we're moving in that direction.
I think they're pretty alert of safe way of doing of any repairs or the jobs that they do. And the ones that's newer people, the older guys, we always encourage them, the new guys, to listen to the older hands that we have to learn a good, safe way to do it, too.
And one last thing, like, kudos to the crew that we have, because when they're out doing things, if they see something that needs to be taken care of, they bring that up at the meetings too. And we keep a list of those things going, and it's on the calendar, and it's just a matter of being able to get around to them.
So they have meetings.
We meet Mondays and Wednesdays every morning. That's from Mark and I, from about 7:30 to 8:30.
Sometimes when we hear about it, they've already fixed it.
Yeah,
so that's
true.
Right. So I guess to answer your question, there isn't a central committee, but I think that departmentally everybody handles their own safety concerns. They meet pretty proactively about them. I'm just a communications monkey. So, like, for example, when the tree fell in the dog park, my first order of business was to make sure that everybody knew not to release their dogs there. So if it's something that affects membership, then these guys would communicate those concerns to me and we would get communications out to the membership. If there's nothing else on that, I will say the process documentation thing, the contract uploads, I know it's a pain. I know you guys are super busy. I'm pretty gung-ho on it. I started documenting my own processes because I came in for a half term, and I also set up a lot of software, so I don't want to leave the next person to just figure it out on their own. So the SOP that I included for the workshop packet is just an example of something I threw together for one of my processes. Yours may not be quite so complicated. So just whatever you need to write down to pass on to the next person, just add it to your OneDrive folder. And of course, if you are frustrated and want to throw your computer out the window when you try to do that, then just leave it in my box and I'll do it for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. that's all I have.
Great. Thank you, Dustin.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Barb isn't here to discuss some HR topics. Just, you know, I'm sure everyone's aware we're down to two drivers and one water maintenance distribution manager and one part-time maintenance crew. We've done some postings. We've gone different routes. Boy, if you know any good folks that might fit in with our crew here and some of the work, please help. Or if you have some thoughts about other places besides Indeed and Workforce and
Craigslist.
Thank you.
Kim and Tyann are working on trying to get a better communication going there, because we found out a few things about some services that we've used.
people don't necessarily look at them. So we're trying to get information out in the areas that we will actually be able to pick up people to do that. So we're working on it. We know we're short crewed, and we'd like to. Things have changed in the last 3 to 4 years, so we're trying to catch up with it. So if you have any ideas on who to contact, you know, we're looking. We really need to have a couple more maintenance people. We need at least one more driver, you know, hopefully two more drivers, because one of our drivers is going to become the supervisor. So the sooner we get that done, the more things we're going to get done.
I had a question about that. Could we maybe, there are a lot of like local peninsula area bulletin boards, right? Just over by the Island Market. Could we tack up a few flyers or something there? Have we done that yet?
I do not believe that we have.
Barb did it 2 years ago, but I don't think, and then we pulled them down and we filled our positions. I think that's a really good idea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm always there buying candy with my kids, so just put it out there.
That's something I should ask Barb if she's able to add that to the list. I know it's like for the drivers, we've contacted all the CDL driving schools with our
requirements and the endorsement that they need to have, and we set that up 2 months ago.
That's a really good idea.
We got no response whatsoever. We'll keep working. So if you know anybody, let us know.
If you guys sent it down to the one in Woodland, Washington, the driving school?
We did not.
If you get it to me, I'm going down there later this week, and I can drop it off.
Talk to Tyann. She has one that worked out that she sent to the ones that are in this area.
I'll just take it in and drop it off. I know them.
Yeah, we did Lakewood, Centralia, Olympia.
There's one other one.
I'll take it down.
Stan, you are next. Or do you have any updates for Marina?
We've gotten all of the permits for doing the adding or repairing the dock. But Elle and I, or DNR, Department of Natural Resources, has to give us their approval to do the work. And they've said that they were going to, and it will be included in our lease for the marina. And they've been promising it next week for about 2 months. Mm-hmm. So we still don't have it. But we have all the other permits in hand, including, except Thurston County has said that they're going to issue it, but we haven't gotten it yet. Yes, ma'am.
Can you define dock? Is that the...
Define
dock. Are you talking about big dock, or are you talking about...
I'm talking about the permit that we've been seeking is to replace a dock, the center portion of a dock that is falling apart.
The fingers?
The main dock.
38A and B and 39.
The dock, the first dock that goes east and west, and then all the fingers on it. The center portion of that, about 200 feet, is old,
yes.
You know, old dock, and it needs to be replaced. It's the last piece to get replaced.
And that would be that whole
That whole section, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Apparently, over the weekend, somebody ripped down a majority of the Summit towing signs down by the dock, up along the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, I don't know, we have to contact the fire department, but they also ripped the fire department one down.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Summit will replace them for you if you ask them for them, Stan. Because you're the marina guy. And then I think because you're the marina guy, maybe you want to reach out to the fire department. Because I had somebody call me. I said, I'll tell Stan. They had a party ripping signs down.
You have it on video?
It's down along that fence and stuff. I don't know if it's on video or not.
They don't record.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Stan. Parks is Barb. We're so close to having the Wanigan. I don't know what Patrick got done today. I know he talked to you.
I didn't come down, but he wanted to know about the lights, and I don't know anything about lights. I didn't talk to him directly.
Okay, so for Easter weekend, it was a hazard for people to be down there, so Marv knows where all that stuff went that was laying loose down in there. It's all in a tote that Ray went up to our house and got, and we locked it in the shed over here. I did not know Patrick was coming back because I've kind of been out of the loop. So were the lights in there, Marv?
The automatic lights, yeah, the ones cutting on. They should be. He had a whole bunch of electrical lights fixtures.
I didn't know anything about it.
So maybe that's what he was asking about.
Well, he said they were just laying out there, and he was afraid that somebody would come in there and
break them
or steal them or something.
He also took the sink parts because they were laying in there loose plastic bags, and he didn't want people to play with those and take those. But they're all locked up in the events committee shed.
Yeah. In a tote.
Yeah.
So maybe you can let Patrick know.
You wasn't around.
Yeah. Well, she was here. She was a rabbit.
I didn't know. I wouldn't have known what was going on down there.
Yeah, but you did a great job being a rabbit. Thank you.
It was fun.
The kids loved you.
It was fun. it's a possibility. I don't know. I've still got to talk to Barb again because of Terry being in the hospital and stuff. I don't know whether we're going to be able to do what she wants to do on the 21st of April. We were going to have a grand opening of the Wadigan, and we were going to have a cake and sell the t-shirts and the sweatshirts we bought ordered, and possibly do some historical, the books that we had at one event that we had, I'd bring down and do a display. And I'm hoping we can still do that.
She's planning on it at this time.
Is she?
She is, you know, just depends on what happens in the next
couple
days.
But we need to put it and I need to do it tomorrow by Friday.
Shoot her an email, a text,
yeah,
and she'll respond.
Yeah.
Colleen, did Patrick ever find an electrician to put the electrical stuff back together again?
I have no idea.
I heard that he was having a hard time finding somebody to do it.
I haven't talked to him about that at all.
I gave him my name, so.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. Roads and stormwater. You're still waiting for a...
Yeah, I'm waiting for a bid. He's going to come out. He said this week. He just got back in town. And we're going to get some more bids if we've got enough money to do everything that we'd like to do. We're going to have quite a bit to do. So as soon as we find out, he comes out and rebids things. I would imagine that things has come up quite a bit with oil prices, and when the oil comes up, it affects the fuels and everything. So,
pavement prices go up.
Yeah, he might. He probably raised it a little bit. He's pretty good about trying to hold it to what an earlier bid it'd be, but we can't expect him to do it really too much. But he's good about taking care of us. He's done a lot here, so. But I'll probably know, I'll call him tomorrow, the next day. And he just got back in town. He's probably got a lot of loose ends he's got to get caught up on. So.
Okay. Stormwater?
Everything seems to be flowing real good with the rains that we've had. The bioswale seems to be moving right along. even some of the problematic ones we've had seems to be doing all right.
Not mine.
Not yours, Wade?
No. No, it's got to be.
Yeah, we know. It gets in there.
It's low in the middle there. And,
right. And, you put your culvert in too high.
We didn't put the culvert in. It's been in there. It's an old culvert. Old culvert.
Diane.
I think part of Colleen's problem with her biosphill is she's got people parking in it, and she's tried repeatedly to talk to these people, tell them where else they could park. That needs to be handled, and that's something they discussed this last week. They're writing a letter, Stan. I wasn't there. Be nice. Yes. So the other one was I did have a community member call me, and I told her she needed to just go to Tiny Town to find out proper channel. I thought it was you, but then I wasn't sure if you guys were doing it together. The yellow house up here, right on the corner, she's having trouble with her. One of the pipes has mud in it, and she was going to dig it out. I said, I don't think you should touch that pipe. You need to talk to somebody specifically.
The water pipe?
No, the
culvert.
The culvert is full of mud. So I told her she needed this yellow house right here behind second one up. She's new, and she's Liz's house. Thank you.
Liz.
I'm pulling my words. Thank you.
The one right down here.
The one right behind it. The yellow one.
Behind
the gray house.
Yeah.
It's behind the gray house, Richard. So, and I don't know if she ever got down here to talk to anybody.
She never said anything. She helped.
She knew you were who to talk to. So I wanted to make you guys aware there is a problem right in there with one of those culverts.
That's the first I've heard about it. So.
Right. So.
I have a question relating to that, I don't know the answer. We have when a person does a driveway, they put in their own culvert. Okay, and the old ones sometimes do get mud in them and stuff. Are we responsible? As a homeowner, are you responsible? Or because it's part of the bioswale, is the community responsible? I don't know the answer.
That was her question. Thank you.
Yes.
That's her question.
I talked to her about that.
I would say I think it'd be our problem.
Yeah, it's
part.
It's a association asset as far as I'm concerned. And it's
even
a community. Even though it's in front of their house, we inspect it when they put it in, and from then on it's ours. But you know, if people want to take care of them, and you know, I dug them out in front of my house here about a month ago, you know, and cleaned them out and so forth. It's just a good thing to as part of your homeowner maintenance.
We have done it too the question came up with Liz, and I know several other people have asked, you know, if I put in the culvert, I mean, they pay for the culvert. But we're responsible then as a community afterwards.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Colleen, I've got a question. Is yours at an angle one way or the other, or is it pretty much, do you know, did John look or...
Well, my landscaper dug out part of the culvert. I mean, he did that at one time, and it's since filled up again. But water gets in the middle, and it just stays there.
Because it's plugged at one end.
No, not the culvert,
it
just middle of the biosphere.
Yeah, that's because the thing is...
Well, maybe you can
add a little soil or something in there.
I know John looked at it at one time, and he mentioned that sometime they get around to it.
Maybe you guys can kind of figure it out, and
I'll come by
staffing to do
such
a thing.
I have something to do tomorrow after the meeting, Mark.
You do?
No, I can go over there.
Maybe. We got the luncheon tomorrow, too.
Oh, that's right. We're partway there.
Thank you, Mark. Water, wastewater?
Okay, I need my notes for this. So, Wastewater, we're looking at a proposal, not yet, on that one. So wastewater, we're just trying to keep up with what's going on there. We're looking at some different things that we might do, because as we increase connections, we might need to increase what our capacity is there. So that's part of our budget that we're looking at. That's a consideration in everything, because we need to have reserves. But basically, everything's working fine with the wastewater. Brian's doing a great job, and we'll just continue to do that. He hasn't come up with any big line items that he needs. He's got a couple of things that he'd like to do to be able to make sure that the system is working properly, but we're looking into those right now. Water distribution system, there's a lot going on. So it's too bad Sandy's not here, because she had questions about that.
She has, so, yes.
What's that?
She has company.
Okay, that's important. We had a water committee meeting on last Thursday, the 21st, with Brian, with Mike Brewer and Chip Roth, and we had a conference call. And Chip Roth, he's part of Northwest Water. They're the engineers that designed what we were doing with our distribution project. And then Mike Brewer is the one who's been actually implementing all this stuff. So we had a really good meeting, just trying to figure out where we are and where we're going to go from there. Because I know everybody has questions about what's happening with the distribution systems. So basically, we got a report that a construction completion report was done with the booster station. So the booster station is done. The telemetry's in there. We have variable speed pumps in there, and everything's working. Pat can attest to that, because she blew out one of her faucets.
Pressure is so high, right? It blew out my faucet, brand new faucet.
So, and it was amazing to watch that, too, as they put that together. John was up there and, trying to find where the water's flowing, where the valves are. So they were testing that for about a week to make sure everybody's pressure's up, and it's good. We've got pressure up there. So that's one part of the system that we need to be able to have increase our number of connections, but that's not the only thing. So that's a big piece. That's been completed.
And approved.
So that's done. One of the things that I learned at the meeting, which was learning something every time that we get together, that's just part of that system. That even though that's improved the pressure, to be able then to have more connections, there's two parts to it. One is the booster station. That does increase the capacity. That's done. Well number one is the other part of that production, and the new well that's replacing that. So we need to have well number three up and running. And that has been completed, but we don't have all the permits on that one yet. So we were asking Mike about, well, where are we with that process? And Chip was saying, too, instead of doing two water system plan submitted to be able to get those connections, The biggest part of that water system plan is the new well. And even though the new well is in place, they tied, instead of doing two different water system plans, one for the booster station and one for the well, is tied to well number three. So now we need to do some tests on that to make sure that everything's working. The paperwork's there. They say that once it's been submitted, it could take up to 3 months for the state to take a look at it, and then it could be another 3 months after that. So we're kind of 3 to 6 months out from actually being approved for more connections. But everything's in place. Mike said that they're probably going to decommission the old well sometime in the middle of April. Once that's done, they're going to run a number of tests on the new well to make sure that the capacity is up to what they did on the previous test, make sure that the telemetry systems are lined up between well two, the new well, and the booster station. And then once we get the permits, then we can get more connections. That's kind of it in a nutshell. There's more to it than that, but that's basically it.
So,
aside from the new connections, what about usage approval for usage of the new well three for the existing connections? Where are we with that?
Mike said that if there was an emergency, that everything's in place, that we could potentially use the new well if we had to. But we can't really, we can't get any new connections in place until the whole plan has been approved. And the whole plan is tied to the permits that are on the new well. It's functional, but it hasn't been approved.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so until it's approved, I want to make sure I understand this, no CAWAs can be issued until the state says we can, correct?
Correct.
Until we have approval for increased connections.
Right. Yeah. The state has to give us that approval.
We're at the same place that we are right now, which is 607, I think. And then once, and Mike said we have the capacity for, is 700 and something?
749. Which is more than we have lots for.
Right, I know that's more than
we have. So we have the capacity for the connections. We have the well to do it. We have everything set up in the well. But we need to run some more tests on it, and then we just have to go through that approval process. And now that the booster station is completed, the paperwork is all submitted, ready to go. They just tied that together. They figured that was the... Believe it or not, that's the fastest way to do it, is what they felt.
And then don't we have to align that with our wastewater treatment? I mean, if we have more water flowing through, aren't we going to have to account for the sewage?
That's what we're looking at as a budget committee, too, is going, you know, how much more demand is that going to put on our wastewater treatment plant? And what are we going to need to do to supplement that? And I'm having a meeting with Brian, like, around April, mid-April sometime, to kind of go over some of those things. So, yes, those are tied together. It's nice to be able to have more connections. It's nice to be able to have more houses here. But as we do that, then it puts more of a strain on our system. And that's one of the things that we need to look at. We need to go, where are we going as a community? How are we going to take care of those things? We do need to have more wastewater treatment. We need to be able to make sure that we have... we keep improving the lines that we have. It's been amazing doing this project, just finding out where some of the water lines are and where we need to make improvements on those water lines.
Strategic planning.
It would have been nice back in 1959 when they went, house here, let's run a line here. Oh, there's a house over there, let's run.
Yeah.
And that's what we're discovering, is that we have some lines that are kind of running. They're not always in the easement where they should be. So that's something we need to work on, too.
Richard?
Yes?
Probably after we get that set up and find out what we're going to do and have to do with our sewer plant, we'll probably have an extended amount of permits and stuff we'll have to go through and find out on the proper improvement that we're going to need with our plant, and that'll be an extended amount of permits, and the allow us to dump it in the bay will probably be an astronomical amount too.
Well, they right now are able to handle approximately 40 pumps per day and be able to keep up with the capacity of that system. We have some days that are a little bit more than that, and the truck has to sit for a little while, but we're generally between 32 to 36 pumps per day. And if you start thinking about, we add some houses onto that, we're going to be right next to that 40 all the time.
Yeah.
How do we sustain that with the system that we have right now? Yes?
I just have a question. I brought this up last year. It's like, with the capacity of the sewage system and us increasing the water, when are we going to do something about the illegal ADUs that people have on their properties that are using more water, that are contributing more to our septic system? There aren't supposed to be two residences on a property, and the HOA has continued to allow it. And all of that is contributing to what the excess we're wanting to spend money on, because we're allowing people to keep these accessory dwelling units with renters in them. on their properties, which is illegal.
Yes, and we don't have an answer to that yet that I know of. Yeah. I mean, we're aware of some of those things. I am hopeful that when we get to the point where we have all the meters in place and we can start metering for water and people are going to have to pay for the water that they're using, that's going to help give us things to keep our water system going and improving the water system. We do need to deal with those other things, and that's part of what we're doing with the rules and regulations and compliance. So, that's been going on for a while. So, it's just an ongoing thing, and I'm glad you brought it up again.
Yeah. So, is there any way that, because I don't know who did it, I got irritated about it, but someone turned my water off at my meter. I woke up in the morning, and I had no water, and I called, and they said, well, we don't have any idea of who was doing whatever, and someone had turned my water off at my meter.
Well, it wouldn't have been. I mean, we had two days when we were metering, and we had information out that we had to turn off water in that area. It should have been turned back on at the end of the day. I think
it was turned off right at your meter.
It was turned off at the meter, and they had already done lookout drive.
Yeah.
And my meter and my neighbor's meter were already there, so they didn't install new meters there.
Right.
But someone had actually turned off my water at the meter.
My guess would, I would think it's somebody that was just messing around with your meter that knows how to turn them off. Because when we had the excavating company do that metering in those two areas, they gave out a notice that they were going to be turned off. They were done by at least 3 o'clock both days, and they were back up and running again. If yours wasn't running, then I'd say somebody turned your meter box off, because that's not anything that our water people do on a daily basis unless they're working on a system.
And they always notify.
And they always notify.
And now there's a big hole. They said they're working on my neighbor's something. Somebody is working on my neighbor's water or something. And so there's like a big hole that's just covered over.
I'd have to get the address on that. There was a lady that John discovered that there was a leak in her plumbing system, and she was, there was a lot of...
It's not that one.
It was not that one. Okay.
But it sounds like somebody was doing some work there, whether it was our guys or another guy's, or somebody else.
My camera only goes to my front porch. It doesn't go over.
Right. Mm-hmm. So apparently, but you said there's some excavating going on around the meter box.
All I know is there's a big hole there now.
Okay.
By your meter box?
Yes, because mine and my neighbors are right beside each other.
So, and your neighbor's not having any work done on their...
Well, they're new.
I know he's adding rooms in his garage.
Your neighbor probably shut off his water and shut off his garage.
He probably didn't know which one was his, so he shut them both off, right?
We need an address.
We need an address on that.
There's no rooms in a garage.
Wow. Well, they would have to have a permit from the county, and if they don't have that, that's a...
Well, they need a permit from us, too.
Right, yeah. But I'm saying they should have a permit from everybody.
Right. Because it sounds like they're putting in an ADU.
I think they only have a two-bedroom manufactured home, and soon either his wife or him have two extra kids that come for the weekend, so they wanted them to have their own bedroom, so he's converting.
Well, make sure that, I don't know what 9-something you are.
I'm 9812.
Next door.
It's next door to 9812.
Okay.
I'll
look at it.
Okay, thank you. And how are we doing on the water meter installations?
So we have about 11 more to go at this particular time. Four of them we're going to get done soon, talking to the excavators, and those are on West Wind. And then there are 7 more, and they're going to be a little bit more difficult. So we need to, we haven't quite found those meters yet, so that might take a while. And that was something I was going to talk to Mike about in our meeting, but we had so many other things that we were covering, we didn't really quite get there. So we're close, but we're not all the way there. We're a lot closer than we were a year ago. I mean, this is Lisa and the water committee that put this all things together for this special assessment have done an incredible job on what's been accomplished in the last year, but we're not done yet.
And just, I'm going to throw myself under the bus right now. I'm putting up, having built a privacy wall on my back deck because what I had up there, when the winds came in, they blew it away. It came up, what I had up there was blown down. So I'm having someone actually build a wooden one instead of what I had up there now. Am I supposed to have a permit for that?
No, because you're replacing it.
No, I'm just replacing it. Because
you're replacing it, you're good.
Okay. No, I have to permit if I want to put a gazebo on mine.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just throw myself under because I don't want to talk about somebody else.
Well, I would have come in. No.
Yeah. You should be seeing a little notice on your fence.
I'm looking forward to having him have it done. It looks beautiful, what he's done so far.
Well, he can only come when it's pretty and he had already made it. It said it was going to rain all week, so he couldn't.
Yeah.
And it didn't rain really today. So it's going to be probably next Friday that he'll come out and finish it.
Ooh, nice.
Cool. Really quickly, are you done? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't really have anything other than what.
I would like to, let's see, I'm making sure I have the right sheet here. I would like to move that the ballot committee for our ballot, or for our voting coming up at the annual meeting, be made up of the following members. Marcia Rugg as chairperson, Nancy Eller, John Eller, Colleen Weston, Judy Perry, Alona Munson, and a new member this year will be Sandy Marsh. I'd like to know if I have a second on that.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? I'm glad you're getting some new folks in that can get trained for the future. Thank you.
It does take a couple of years to get it down, to make it go fast.
Yeah. All in favor?
Pat, could you send me that list in writing?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been trying to write them all down, so that between you and Mike, they'll have it. So that motion passes 6-6. Thank you very much. Compliance?
Yep. Okay, so will you hand that way, please? Excuse me. There's copies up here if anybody wants. No.
Anybody want?
So I am going to ask somebody else to read this for me, though, because my throat is raw. So would you mind? Thank you.
So this is the regular monthly compliance committee report, which is generated out of the database that we use. And it summarizes our activities for the month. So this month, which means the previous month, really, we've dealt with complaint talks, 2 junk cars, 2 non-compliant rental issues, complaints, 6 obstructed view complaints, and 1 short-term rental complaints for a total of 11. And so year-to-date, we've had 2 barking dogs, 2 junk cars, 2 non-compliant rentals, 6 obstructed views, 1 property damage, 1 short-term rental, and unauthorized business, 1 for a total of 15. In the previous month, total actions, 2 were closed without action because they were resolved. 2 were escalated to the board. 2, there were 2 hearings requested that are still open, and 1 that was resolved for a total of 11. Year to date, in comparison, 5 have been closed without action, 4 have been escalated to the board, 2 are open hearing requests, and 2 have been resolved for a total of 15. So in terms of enforcement actions, Fines assessed for the previous month, zero. Fines assessed year to date, zero. I don't think that's true. No, that's a mistake. And the general remark is that the community continues to be concerned about parking docks. That's our biggest one. Any questions about what we've been doing the last month or so? I'm so glad that we have so many committee members in attendance today.
Oh, just keep it. I don't want
to. All right. Anything else, Diane?
You're going to love this. So I missed the last couple meetings, and I had a phone call that possibly the board was thinking about going a different direction with compliance. And so I put together pros and cons. Because if you want to talk about that now, or is that something we're going to talk about in the executive and bring back to it? Okay, so reasons why.
So could I interject just a little bit?
Yeah.
The committee met and discussed this. So this is a reflection of the committee's feelings about things.
Thank you. So, I should have read that part too. Sorry. It doesn't cost us anything to have a compliance committee that's run by volunteers. Its actions are driven by the community and the community members. It's a good support system for our community, good source of information, guidance, and for rules enforcement, consistent procedures, excellent database and document management, which is in OneDrive, which has been actively having things put into OneDrive. Bridge from complaint to resolution. We're getting that down finally, because we're kind of a new committee. Multiple eyes on the community. So we can have people that... I get a lot of people call about barking dogs. I'm going to use that as an instance. And so I tell them they need to call Thurston County and document it with them and then file a complaint with us. It's they have to follow the right steps. And I also tell them, if you're not going to follow the steps, we can't help you. In one instance, I did go up at 11 o'clock at night because I got this phone call, and it wasn't just the dogs they were talking about barking. It's like, excuse the expression, an alley of dogs, and it just rotates in a circle, mm-hmm. but it's really predominant. You hear this one set of dogs more than the others. If you're on that side, but if you're on where I was at, you hear all of them, and it's like 10 dogs.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised you don't hear them at your house.
I hear.
Yeah, I can hear them off my deck, but when I got out on that corner where I'm getting these complaints from several residents, it's mind-boggling.
And the rest of them are.
Yeah, it's like a... So, committee members, commitment by committee volunteers. We have had one committee member that has dropped out for personal reasons. If we go with Vantage, we are unsure of the cost, what it would be, and it's not budgeted currently, correct? We're estimating to be between $3,000 and $5,000 a year, which would be another increase to our budget, remote from the community, not as effective. How would they manage? Would they come out every week, every month? How would they do it? More complaints and burden on the board. Lack of
consistency.
Thank you. That's not the word here, but thank you. Thank you. That's the word. Or legacy compliance, pro mitigation, single point of failure for letters. The recommendation from us as a group, and they did all this because, like I said, I was ill, retain committee and engage Vantage for sending certified letters only. We have reached out to, we sent a letter to the one gal who wanted a hearing, and she's passed her 10 days, and she has never responded. I checked with Tyann, nothing ever came in for that person that wanted a hearing, so I'm assuming that's going to get closed at our next meeting. I just can't close it and I thought about reaching out to her, but it's passed her 10 days. She asked for it. I sent her back, please send us 3 dates that would work for you so I can get it to the board to set up your hearing, and I've heard nothing back from this person. So to me, she's over 2 weeks out, probably more than that, and she's not requested that hearing again. So to me, that's a closed issue. So that's where we're at.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a couple of things. The conversation that we had as a group kind of revolved, it might have been that reference that you just made, and I, you know, it's not appropriate for us to put
no names.
That actually was one of the things, if it is that one, that drew us to some of the conclusions that we had with the rest of the group, is that if it is that letter, I don't have it, sitting right here.
It's not from the one that added three to her thing. Okay.
We'll have to
discuss it next year, executive.
But there have been a couple incidences now that actions of the group have brought to the board some potential litigation issues. One of them was a letter that was sent by you in direct opposition of what we talked about at the executive session that you were in regarding a letter to that got sent to the wrong person, indicating that the committee wasn't going to work on it anymore, but it was turned over to the board. And that's directly opposite what we asked you to do, as well as having the letter reviewed by Mike or myself before it went out.
The only letter I sent was one that was a brand new complaint, and that lady asked for a hearing. Anything else was mailed by Mike and them, and it did go to Mike.
Okay, we can
discuss that
later. But the I was concerned that a number of the members of your committee also said they weren't, you know, interested in participating in some of the procedure that had been set up that was difficult to try to do compliance if you don't have your, boots on the ground. You've got boots on, so I guess I have this. As well as just the legality of overstepping and representing, having committee members opposing and represent, thank you, as a way to give information for to people who are complaining that are representing the board. So it was...
it was me. I was one of them that had originally said I would quit because, to me, it started out as being very difficult and not sustainable. I still think there are issues with it, but I do think that a committee of some type, now, since I'm on the architect committee too, we do it similar, but we have one person who goes around and is the liaison to the community and does the complaining or whatever, not the committee. The committee talks about things, but then gives him the ability to go do it. Red tags or, you know, going to see certain complaints about somebody doing something without a permit, for instance. But the compliance committee is not really set up. I mean, each one of us is supposed to do something. Now, we don't all have to go out and do things. We can take certain parts of it. But I still think it's, in the long run, because committees change so much, whether or not the whole thing would be sustainable the way it is. I mean, yes, these lovely ladies with all of the tech background and everything else, but you're not going to get that forever. You're going to get people who are retired who may not be tech savvy or can do OneDrive or can do these things. And so it's going to be one of these things that the learning curve is going to be greater and people will drop out. That's my thought process. I do think you need a liaison with the community. I think you need a small committee or some type of committee to work with somebody else. Mm-hmm. I don't think Vantage is totally the answer. I don't think you should just give it over to them. But I think there needs to be a split. We used to have the manager do all of the stuff.
I'm taking everything in here. It seems like maybe we shouldn't put all the eggs in one basket. It should be a hybrid of some sort. Utilize Vantage for what they're good at.
That's right.
And keep some community involvement.
That's right.
But and keep, you know, and follow KISS. Keep it simple. And just keep it simple. And the other thing that I'm very concerned about with all of our committees is protecting the committee members, because they are not under our umbrella for insurance.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Then so if any of our committee members get gung ho and get out there and start saying something, they're not covered by our liability insurance. And so that's a very big thing that we should make sure that everybody's aware of.
I agree. I think that's a concern, and I would add to that, we don't have insurance for volunteers who help us do stuff like the tree in the dog park. If anybody had gotten injured while they were volunteering to do stuff for us, they're not covered. And that's a concern for me. I would hate to see someone be seriously injured doing volunteer work for us, and then we go, well, too bad, you know, you're on your own with that broken back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a concern. So I do think we need to look at the coverage. I don't know how much more expensive it would be, but I think whatever it is would be worth the liability that we might have or feel that we have if there's a problem. In terms of the committee, I agree with Colleen that I really don't have any problem with Vantage doing the certified letters for us. I think that makes a lot of sense. But I do think that if there were no compliance committee, which has been thrown out there, that it would be a serious additional burden on the board members, because they would have to deal with everything, and right now we can deal with a lot of what goes on. I'm not at all concerned with the size of our committee. We've got active people here. We have 5 people on the committee, and they're active and doing stuff and contributing much more than some of the other areas who don't have as many committee members. So we are viable as a committee in terms of number of people. We're doing the work, and we're getting our processes really pretty smoothed down.